Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Hello, Joseph. I was looking at one of your posts on X, Twitter, whatever we're calling it now, about how we're focusing on what's going on in Israel right now, and for good reason. But could it be that in some way Russia is helping Hamas because it's a good thing for Putin to have us all distracted at the moment? What do you think?
Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. I think exactly this is is a possibility. I think everyone here in Ukraine agrees with that. I mean, as I talk with people, you know, everyone is paying attention to what's happening in Israel. We do, you know, away from the front lines and from one city I'll talk to you about in a moment. It's pretty calm right now. There have not been major strikes since that horrible strike on the center of Kharkiv last Friday and the one from last Thursday on a village in Kharkiv region. You know, 1 year ago, as we discussed yesterday, Russia began its weekly infrastructure attacks, sending about 100 missiles every Monday or Tuesday to Ukraine. So far, we do not see anything like that. But as you look at, you know, you look at how you look at commentary, especially in the United States, and obviously the focus is on Israel, which makes sense. I think, you know, it certainly does shift attention away from Ukraine. And as I mentioned yesterday, you have senior politicians in the United States, such as Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri, saying now's the time to give everything to Israel and to stop giving things to Ukraine. If you look at a map, you know, Gaza is, you know, it's smaller than the city of Kyiv. Obviously, Israel itself is a very small country. And while there are similarities between these situations, there also are, you know, enormous differences. But one of the similarities is the, you know, and more and more as we see these horrible stories that have come out, especially about what Hamas did on Saturday, it sounds so familiar to what Russians have been doing to Ukrainians, especially in those first months of the full-scale invasion. Mm-hmm. And I was speaking with a member of parliament earlier today, and she said, "We are watching videos from Israel now like we are back in 2022. And so I think it's important to reiterate this, because I hear a lot of commentary saying, "Oh, we've never seen things so horrible as what we saw on Saturday in Israel." But actually, we have. Unfortunately, we have. And, you know, I think of so many of the stories I've heard, my you know, stories I've shared with you. But my friend from Mariupol, who told the story of how the Russians gave his parents 4 minutes to leave their flat before they destroyed it, and they had to make the choice to leave the bedridden grandmother there. And 4 minutes later, the Russians blew up the flat. I told you the story of the Ukrainian soldier who was sent a video from his mother's number on his phone in which she was decapitated. And so we see the same level of sort of heinous evil, of inhumanity from both Hamas and from Russia. And Russia still has refused to condemn what Hamas did, which is obviously not a surprise. And so we can see that they are playing the angles here. And then there's the bit, as Zelensky has been very keen to remind everyone, there's the, you know, Iran is obviously united with Hamas, but Iran has been working with Russia. And it has been those Iranian drones that Russia has used, especially to hit Ukrainian infrastructure and ports. I heard from, I saw on Twitter a few days ago, my friend George Deek. He is an Israeli ambassador to Azerbaijan, and he's actually a Christian and a senior, probably the highest ranking Christian in the Israeli foreign ministry. And he said, "War is hell, but do you know what worse is worse than hell? Watching your children get murdered before your eyes." And so this is what, you know, again, we're going to see a very different response, I think, from Israel, as, you know, compared to Ukraine. It's a very different situation. But right now in Israel, the mood is incredibly tense as Israeli soldiers are lined up, prepared to go into Gaza. And you know, when I speak with people there, there's obviously we all have kind of been through some kind of hell together. And so there is a great sense of solidarity. One friend in Tel Aviv texted and said, now all of us are going to the army. I hope this will end soon. And this is this. I also spoke with friends, by the way, who were in one of the kibbutzes that was seized in the Negev desert. And my friend with his wife and two daughters said, I can't believe it's a miracle we are still alive. And again, when I hear those stories, it's the same stories we continue to hear throughout Ukraine. And even in the past, since yesterday, late afternoon and today, the Russians have been pounding the a small Ukrainian city called Avdiivka, not far from Donetsk. And Donetsk is that city that the Russians have occupied since 2014. In some ways, you could draw some parallels to Gaza. Donetsk, since the Russians took control, it's been in this weird in-between state. People fled from the city to go to free Ukraine. It was once a thriving place of more than a million people. Now it's sort of a dilapidated mess. But about just a few miles away in this little Ukrainian city, the Russians have been pounding it like they did to Bakhmut. So we got to make sure these stories don't get missed, even as we see what's happening in Israel. And just as an example, this morning in that city of Avdiivka, at 9:59 in the morning, a Russian rocket fell into a garden, and then another at 10:33, and then 10:34, and then two rockets at 10:35. At 10:44, another rocket. At 10:45, yet another rocket. 10:47, another rocket. 10:57, three more rockets. So imagine that morning in Ukraine, not so different from what the Israelis had to experience, especially on Saturday.
Good reminder. Good reminder about the horrors and the atrocities there where you are in Ukraine, very similar to what's going on in Israel. We talk a lot about politics, especially now here in the United States, but Russia's presidential election is March of next year. Is there any talk about what may or may not happen there and how it will affect the war, Joseph?
No, I can't even imagine. For one, every week is such an eternity. I can't imagine that. Who would have been the candidate, the Prigozhin, the alternative. So I can't imagine that anything would change. Obviously, I'm sure they will have some kind of pretext. Russia does love to hold fake referenda and votes. We fully expected major infrastructure attacks on Ukraine right now. And the infrastructure was severely weakened last year. And so we fully expected this. And it does seem that we're in this, and this is what's heavy and scary for everyone, including the people in Jerusalem and everyone here in Ukraine and really around the world, as we wait and see what's going to happen when Israel does go into Gaza. How is Iran going to react? What is Russia going to do? And there's a strange, besides, again, the front lines and that city I just mentioned to you, Avdiivka, there is a strange calm. And that calm is very worrisome. And I think so right now, in many ways, while no one's, you're staying vigilant here, all eyes are to Israel. And, if we look in Israel, Gaza used to be sort of part of Israel, and there were Jews and Palestinians living there together. And then in 2005, Israel withdrew, and sort of that was kind of similar in some ways to what happened with key differences to Donbass in eastern Ukraine in 2014, and maybe now we see by withdrawing, it enabled it to become a very radicalized place. We see a lot of propaganda working overtime. I think we are going to see horrible scenes from Gaza City as Israel moves in. It's important to remember that Ukraine has rarely been able to attack anything on Russian soil, but when they do focus on Russian military targets. So in that way, the story is very different. But for Israel, it's extremely difficult because in Gaza, everything, the military and civilians are all intertwined. It's such a tiny place. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a lot of propaganda trying to make people forget how horrible and heinous, the beheaded babies in the kibbutzes on kibbutz on you know, in the Negev Desert on Saturday. I the best I can say is I think I won't be. I mean, Russia has to have a hand in this somehow, along with Iran, and we all need to be vigilant and be tough for what's going to come ahead.
For sure. As always, we appreciate your reporting on Ukraine and the worldview you share with us here every morning. Thank you, Joseph.
Bob, thank you. Till tomorrow.